One day, as a small child, Thomas Edison came home from school and gave a paper to his mother. He said to her, "Mother, my teacher gave this paper to me and told me only you are to read it. What does it say?" Her eyes welled with tears as she read the letter out loud to her child. "Your son is a genius. This school is too small for him and doesn't have good enough teachers to train him. Please teach him yourself." Many years after Edison's mother had died, he became one of the greatest inventors of the century. One day he was going through a closet, and he found the folded letter that his old teacher wrote to his mother that day. He opened it. The message written on the letter was, "Your son is mentally deficient. We cannot let him attend our school anymore. He is expelled." Edison became emotional reading it and then wrote in his diary, "Thomas A. Edison was a mentally deficient child whose mother turned him into the genius of the century." Such is the power of a mother or mentor to change the destiny of a child. What we learn there about Thomas Edison's childhood is mostly true, but this story circulating around was somewhat sensationalized. The teacher's note really never existed in life, but during the few short months Edison was attending school, his teacher did call him an addled child. His mother was furious and took him out of school and taught him everything herself. The actual course of events was given by Thomas Edison himself in an interview published in a newspaper called TP's Weekly in 1907. This was the earliest and true account of his leaving school. "One day I overheard the teacher tell the inspector that I was addled and it would not be worthwhile keeping me in school any longer. I was so hurt by this last straw that I burst out crying and went home and told my mother about it. Then I found out what a good thing a mother is. She came out as my strong defender. Mother love was aroused, mother pride wounded to the quick. She brought me back to the school and angrily told the teacher that he didn't know what he was talking about, that I had more brains than he himself, and a lot more talk like that. In fact, she was the most enthusiastic champion a boy ever had, and I determined right then that I would be worthy of her and show her that her confidence was not misplaced." That from childrenlearningreading.org, underscoring how important it is for young people to receive affirmation, especially in the face of naysayers, or even if they're overlooked and ignored and lack support and encouragement along the way. It's so fitting that Thomas Edison stands larger than life with an electric light bulb raised in his hand. In Hazleton, the bulb is emanating a stream of energy out into the streets. Here's what Pocket Sites tells us about that mural. "The Creative Voltage mural was completed in 2017 by Boston artist and Hazleton native Mary Veronica Sweeney, with support from the Downtown Hazleton Alliance for Progress and the Pennsylvania Council on the Arts. The mural is located to the rear of Hazel Drugs, 7 North Wyoming Street in Hazleton. It depicts Thomas Edison, who in 1883 made Hazleton the third city in the world to have two-wire, three-phase streetlights. Edison, together with the miners who extracted the coal to make electrification possible, helped make the city of Hazleton a center for business and culture well into the 20th century. In the mural, Edison transfers his creative energy to the children of the community." We can only imagine what would have happened if Edison had remained in that school where he was considered addled, but his talents were seen and understood by his mother, who gave him the support he needed to believe in himself. That's why Thomas Edison, standing there, light bulb in hand, transferring his creative energy to the children of the community of Hazleton, is such an appropriate emblem for Art Youth Expo, presented for well over a decade by the Hazleton Art League to shine a light on, pun intended, the talents of young people in the region. AYE 14 will be held this Friday and Saturday, May 30th and 31st, at the Hayden Family Center for the Arts, 31 West Broad Street. Dr. Carl Frankel is president of the Art Leaks board. Michael DeMonaco is a member of the board. And Summer Whitley, AYE14 coordinator. And they paid a visit to the WVIA Benko studio to talk with us about Art Youth Expo and its mission. Dr. Frankel.
This is our 14th annual Art Youth Expo. We missed 1 year due to, of course, COVID. So we started 15 years ago. Every year we try to have something different or add things or take away the things that didn't work. But there were two ideas that led to the Hazleton Art League putting Art Youth Expo together. One was very self-serving. We wanted more people to come in the door of the Art League. And we thought, well, the Art League appeals to people who like art, but for those people who don't really have a feeling for art, it's hard to convince them that it's wonderful stuff. You have to get them in the door first. And we thought, well, you know, there are a lot of people that go to ballet recitals, not because they love ballet, but because their little girl is dancing. Or they go to lacrosse games when they don't even know how lacrosse works, but their kid's on the team. So it was that self-serving thing. They support their kids. If we have a kids' art festival, they'll come down. And that's kind of worked out. Although, frankly, I think sometimes the lacrosse teams do better. I'm not sure. But the other was, I'm sure you've had these experiences too, Erica. We just keep getting gobsmacked about the talent that's out there. Even before we had Art Youth Expo, we would see what some of the talented young artists in the area do. And it just seemed like something worth celebrating, especially since, you know, we all live in the coal region. A lot of these very talented young people will grow up and develop their talents in San Diego or Philadelphia or something else. So let's celebrate them here where they came from while we have a chance. And that continues to be the case. I will not mention the young artist's name, but a piece came in the door yesterday, which was just stunning. It's a painting of a large cat, as I would say, a wild cat, and it's just beautifully done. And this young person has won other awards for this painting, and we have a real talent here and lots of others, and we really want people to see that. And, you know, it's very gratifying because people come to the show, and that's what they say. They say, oh, my gosh, I had no idea. And that's what it's all about. And, of course, it's not just art. It's music. We have a lot more music this year than we have in the past. We're going to have music all Saturday afternoon. And we're going to have bands doing Latino music, and we're going to have young people singing opera arias. It's going to be a wide range of music. We are going to have young people sharing their skills at baking, what we call our Bake Jam. We started last year and we're continuing this year. So we try to find a way to honor all kinds of creative activity done by our young people. And actually, we have a bit of a problem. Some people think this is just for quote unquote kids, but we have the youth category 13 to 18, but also artists from 19 to 30, because again, we are lucky enough that some people dedicated to the arts and talented are still in our area, and we want to show people, look what's out there, and by the way, you can buy their art for a reasonable price. In the best of all possible worlds, young creative people would not have to move out of the area to make a living with their talents and be able to stay here. And so if we could contribute to that in a little way, that's also part of the goal. One of the great things about Art Youth Expo 14 is we have a really good committee this year. We have people working hard, they're inventive, they're creative, and they're young, which is very appropriate for Art Youth Expo. So Michael DeMonaco, I'll let him tell you what he wants to tell you about his own artistic background, other than I'll just say that he's a photographer. And he recently joined our governing board and has been just working very hard and creatively on Art Youth Expo and other things for the Art League.
Welcome, Michael. Tell us about your own work first, and then we'll go into how you are helping the community.
I would kind of introduce myself, as Carl said, a photographer. I don't think it gets that much deeper than that. That's what I dedicate all my time to, is photography. And one of the interesting things that I don't think Carl knows this, really, that inspired me more and more with photography, is the Art League and Art Youth Expo is what really ignited the passion, even though I was going to school for it, I was getting a degree in it. That's what really sparked my passion, was there are people in this area who care about it. And that was the first time in the area that I got that validation, which was really something special. And, you know, it's why I'm doing what I'm doing right now. I want to do more with the Art League, help the Art League more and more. But yeah, first and foremost, I'm a photographer. I do fine art portraiture outside. My work takes a lot of heavy inspiration from paintings more than anything, with a focus on light in the image. And then other than that, I shoot for the Opera House in Jim Thorpe, and then I do weddings. But yeah, I just joined the board of directors for the Art League because I want to give back as much as I can now for how much they've inspired me. I want to now take that inspiration and pay it forward as much as I can.
Does the Hazleton Art League have facilities for young photographers? I know you don't need dark rooms anymore, but how would a young photographer take part in what the Hazleton Art League has to offer in that regard? Workshops?
So it would mainly, as you said, you don't need dark rooms anymore, but space for hosting workshops and having workshops, you know, there is the space to set up your backdrop, set up your light. I teach photography at the Art League, and all you need is a facility to just set up and shoot, and they provide that. If you want to shoot indoors for a little bit, do some studio portraits, you have the space right there. You know, you have the people that are interested in that want to help you, so go out and do it.
What draws you to helping young people as they are finding their voices, whatever the art medium?
Probably being comfortable doing it. And that sounds a little bit funny, but especially when I shoot with people or when I'm working with people, even like younger people, it's getting comfortable doing something. You can do something properly, you can do something right, but it will always come out better if you put yourself in it more, as long as you're comfortable doing it. And that is knowing that there's going to be a good, I don't want to say product, but you know, finished piece at the end of it. And it's just sitting down, compartmentalizing everything, and just taking a second to breathe and then getting to work. I feel like that's one thing people don't focus on. It's getting the practice in, it's getting the technicality, but you have to just step back, breathe, and let yourself be a part of the moment, because you are investing yourself, so you are in what you're in.
Would you agree with Carl that you are amazed by the talent of the young people you've been seeing at Youth Expo?
Amazed is an understatement. There are a few pieces that I'm always drawn to when I walk in and I see the exhibit and the gallery itself. We just had an exhibit. It was the month before. It was just for a weekend, actually. One of the pieces that was there, it was a piece that I saw from Art Youth Expo last year. And then the artist put in two more pieces, and I immediately was drawn to which pieces were there. I can clock, you know, their style, the weight of the lines they put into their work. And then they had inspired their friend to come and join too. And I didn't know they were friends, because the two artists that I was impressed with the most, the second they introduced themselves, I ran over to them. So I'm like, I have to tell you how amazing this is. I don't know how often you hear this from whoever, but this is absolutely insane. And that might not be the best word to use, but my mind is just blown by you are so young, and just having this much talent, this much technicality, refinement, it is astounding to witness.
And isn't that what you said about your own coming to life? Somebody recognizes it, somebody appreciates it, and that's what you're giving to these young people.
Exactly. At such a young age, I feel like people need to validate what they're doing, you know. Maybe you don't want to pursue it as a career or anything, because, you know, there's always the times in the back of my head where I'm like, maybe, you know, this isn't the best line of work. But when you get that validation, it just, any worry, any negativity, it washes away. You know, you lose yourself when you don't have that validation, and then you blossom every single time again. And maybe that blossom changes more and more. You just become so much more because of it. And then you push yourself to do so much more because of it. And you experience so much more because of it that you wouldn't otherwise experience.
Now, Carl, would you introduce us to the artist on your right?
Yes. A wonderful recent addition to the Art League is Summer Whitley. She will tell you about herself, but she's kind of at a betwixt and between part of her life right now, which is very lucky for the Art League because we grabbed her and she worked as a volunteer. She has wonderful skill sets, technical and artistic, and we're just so fortunate to have her. And the joke of the Art League is we're happy the longer her successful next step into life is delayed, because we get to keep her. And we're so happy to have her working with Art Youth Expo. She's been a great part of everything we've done so far.
Well, how nice is that to hear? What drew you to the Art League in the first place?
When I was a kid, I actually took classes at the Art League back when it was still in the old building up on Broad Street. I actually took a pastel and charcoal class with Mark Rooney back in 2009, I think. Then I fell off the face of the earth for a while, but then I came back and I was in college and I was looking for summer work. And I was talking to my mom about it and she was like, hey, why don't you email the Art League? Why don't you see if they have something? You would be great for something like that. And I emailed Mark my resume. I was like, I want to work here over the summer. And the rest is kind of history, I think.
What kinds of things do you do now as an artist?
Oh, well, a lot of my focus has been on more digital art. I've been exploring with digital painting using different online programs and softwares. But in my traditional works, I do acrylics, I do colored pencils, I do chalk pastels, and I'm starting to get into oil paints, which is super exciting and kind of scary because it's so flammable. But I'm really just trying a lot of stuff out. I really like doing paper cutouts and layering paper to make interesting illustrations full of texture, paper engineering as well. I get around.
If we're talking about young people, do you think some of the young people in the region might be attracted to digital work because they spend so much time in the world of online and phones and computers and so forth?
Oh, yeah, for sure. A lot of people are interested in digital art because after the upfront cost, it's extremely accessible. There are lots of free tutorials. There's lots of brush packs, things like that. For most programs, all you have to do is get a tablet and then buy the program, and that's it. You don't have to buy any more supplies after that. So the initial cost, maybe, like for me, it was a couple hundred dollars, and then that's it. You're set. So it is very appealing for young artists, especially because they don't have to bother their parents for supplies every week. They don't have to store it in a bunch of different places. They can take it with them. It's very accessible in that way.
What is your primary role? I'm sure it's many hats. And what are you doing with regard to Youth Expo?
I do have many hats, but I would say my technical job title now is webmaster. So I handle our website. I also create a lot of the graphics for social media. I write emails. I do grant writing. If it happens online, I'm probably the one who's doing it.
And how about Art Youth Expo? Then you're helping get the word out, creating the graphics for the promotion, and what else?
So for Art Youth Expo, the poster was designed by a high schooler who goes to Crestwood, but I take that design that she made, that logo that she designed, and I decide where to plaster it, which is on everything. So like the stickers that I gave you, our buttons, our t-shirts, I'm the one designing all of those. All of our ads, so in the standard speaker, I designed that, all of our social media ads, things like that. And I'm also in charge of a lot of outreach, so I focused on colleges and other art leagues in the area within like a 2-3 hour drive typically. And I was also in charge of getting hold of sponsors for people to support us, getting the word out that we're a valuable organization and we support youth in the arts, and that's important to support. If it's online, I'm doing it.
Carl, you and Michael referred to seeing some work in the gallery space. Tell us about how students submit work, and the fact that they have their work in a professional gallery is quite something.
Yes. Part of the whole experience that we're trying to provide for our young artists is you are now being exhibited in a serious gallery. We have certain expectations that your work will be properly framed. We encourage them to have it for sale, although that's a tough sell, Erica, because these are the kids' babies. They want to hold on to them. But if you're going to be serious about art, you have to present your art properly. You have to have the confidence to price it accordingly. And the exhibit that Mike was referring to, we just had it for one weekend. It was the graduating students at the Hazleton Area Arts and Humanities Academy, HAHA as we call it. And they came dressed in very current, trendy, but dignified ways. They looked wonderful. They behaved impeccably. If I were their parents, I would have been so proud. They were like young artists at an exhibit. You could talk to them about their work, and they were gracious, and they were interesting. That's the kind of experience. I think for most of these students, this is their first serious experience with the arts of that sort, and that's important to us.
And Michael, that's what you were describing to us when you saw those two artists and their work.
Yeah, and you know, it's exciting to see them there and to see them excited about everything, but it gives them that chance to talk to the public about their work in such a prestigious location, you know, and like Carl said, having the confidence to do all that, because that is important. That is majorly important when you want to be exhibiting your work.
And you mentioned the music in the park. Is that where the music is?
Yeah, so actually I was in charge of making the schedule for that. So we have a wide range, really. I'll just say the day previous, the opening exhibit, will have students from one of the people contributing Dan DeMelfi. Some of his students will be singing in the gallery, playing piano. But then on the 31st, the larger day, we'll have a mix of Latino music and then younger people who are in full bands. We have like a psychedelic band, some just indie songwriters coming through. And then we will be closing it with a professional vocalist right after the award ceremony. So from right when we open 3 till 8 o'clock at night, when it ends, minus the award ceremony, we'll have somebody in every single half hour set playing something.
I remember, Carl, that you brought with you at one point a very talented writer, maybe a poet from MMI, I think he was. And you had some readings of young people, some open mics.
Yes, we do have an open mic. The only thing we've changed this year, it's the last event on Friday night, the opening night at 8 o'clock. It used to be in our painting studio, which we sort of retrofitted into being a sort of bohemian, hip little cafe, which is very nice, but the seating is limited. So now we are going to the Penn State Launch Box, which is just 3 doors down Broad Street. And that will be where the open mic is at 8 o'clock. And it's open to everybody, so hopefully we will have singers, we'll have people playing the accordion, we will have poets, I hope. Anything you can do in a small area. So there won't be room for a dance troupe or anything like that, but that's what we tell people, is if anything that you can perform on a small area, please come to open mic. And it is judged and there are prizes. And Mike, you could probably say more about that if you want to, because I think you've been working on that more closely. I sort of focused on the art show and let Summer and Mike and Mark and all the other people focus on the other parts of Art Youth Expo.
So this year, it's a little more relaxed than it was the previous years, because we would try to make it more of a whole big formal part of AYE, and then people would sign up and then not show up because, oh, well, the gallery's over and let me just go home and sleep. So it's going to be a little more relaxed this year. We will have an MC by the name of Precious. And they will be hosting everything, you know, having all their transitional segments between all the acts. But anybody that's coming to AYE, you know, we encourage them to come sign up at the end of the night. I already have some people who are performing, interested in coming up from like Allentown Easton and everything. But just come and hang out, you know, it's just more relaxed and just kind of a nice little vibe to the end of the night.
Carl, you've been with Art Youth Expo since the very beginning, and I just wonder, as we close, what your thoughts are as you're entering into what is now about a decade and a half of providing a showcase for young people and drawing folks from the region to celebrate their talents.
Well, I'll be honest with you, Erica. We wish more people knew about it. That's why we're here, taking advantage of your vast audience. But, you know, if you talk to people who are trying to put on a public event, it's hard to get people out anymore. So we've always, every Art Youth Expo has been successful, and the people that participated in it said, wow, that was great. And so after they say, wow, that was great, we say, remember to go home and tell everybody you know that, so that when we have next year's expo, they will want to come down. So for the people that participated in it, it's really a positive experience. There's a lot of high-fiving and a lot of thank you, thank you, thank you, and especially from parents of the teens, oh, it's so wonderful that you do this for our kids. So that's the high, that we've worked very hard and done a good thing not just for the artists and their community, because they're displaying for the public, we've done a good thing for our community. We provided a really good and unique event. And we just are waiting to cross that threshold when people are bombing down from Binghamton because they heard about this and how cool it was and they've got to be here.
Well, now the website, so that people from all over can find you. Summer?
Sure. It is www.hazeltonartleague.org. All one word, hazeltonartleague.org.
We had a visit from Dr. Carl Frankel, who is president of the Hazelton Art League Board, photographer Michael DeMonaco, who's a member of the board, and the many hat-wearing Summer Whitley, who is coordinator of Art Youth Expo 14, speaking with us about the event that will be held this Friday and Saturday. The gallery opening and the open mic will be Friday, May 30th from 5 to 8 p.m., and the festival itself and the award ceremony Saturday, May 31st from 3 to 8 p.m., The Hayden Family Center for the Arts, 31 West Broad Street in Hazelton, is the site of most of the activity, except for the open mic that will be down the street at the Launch Box. And there will be many, many events and activities, an art contest with cash prizes, the open mic, live music, food, an artist bazaar, and the food jam, the bake jam. And for more information, on the web, hazeltonartleague.org, hazeltonartleague.org, Art Youth Expo 14. And that's Friday, May 30th, 5 to 8 p.m., and Saturday, May 31st, from 3 to 8 p.m., and it's at the Hayden Family Center for the Arts, 31 West Broad Street in Hazelton, with the open mic at the Launch Box just down the street. For more information, on the web, hazeltonartleague.org, hazeltonartleague.org.